I haven't done very much in terms of.
Okay. Or you were working in organizations who already have their mechanisms of top line just fitting in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, most of the time it was the organization, or so newspapers, ISP was completely online anyway.
Okay.
BBC was broadcast, so there wasn't a tangible offline element to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are examples. There's nothing more powerful than getting a trail, cross promotion from the two bits of the business.
Okay.
Quite often, what happens is the first thing that happens is they hire a digital person and put them into a team, and then when that becomes evident that they are very different types of people, then they set up a separate digital department, and then after enough years have gone by and it becomes obvious that these two organizations are basically doing the same thing, then they mail them back into each other as well. And sometimes it takes 2 years or sometimes it's 10 years, but it always happens. And so in the intervening period you get some amount of cross promotion and then not, and then some more and then not.
Yeah.
So promotion in the newspaper was always good. But you put a URL in a newspaper, how many times you read a newspaper and you type out a URL and you do a bit.ly link, it's weird, it doesn't really work. Whereas if you do it on TV, you get TV organisations to do cross promotion. But they still do stupid things like saying go to bbc.co.uk/news/whatever it is. Instead of just saying a short code.
Yeah.
bbc.co.uk/Kosovo or whatever. Just that's basic stuff.
Mm-hmm. What is the Twitter policy at City then? Because I know some players are tweeting stuff. Is it their private fund? Because I've read some German magazine periodically posts tweets from Mario Balotelli, I think.
Yeah.
He's doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, he's always doing crazy stuff.
Yeah. So is there any plan or for the future?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, there isn't an official policy, although I am writing one. But to be honest, that won't be the important thing. The players were warned by a very expensive law firm called Shillings in London, and Shillings are one of the international libel solicitors. It's what they do. And so, of course, when they talk to the players about it, they just warn them about all the scary things that could go wrong. Don't say this, don't say that. They didn't talk to them about any of the opportunity. So there's no official policy. The players all do their own thing. Some do it more sensibly than others. Some do it more effectively than others. But what's interesting is that they are beginning to realise, because Rio Ferdinand from Manchester United and Jack Wilshere from Arsenal, they do it themselves. They genuinely do it themselves.
Yeah.
And they're beginning to see growth in their audience, and they're becoming a personal brand, which means that they're being able to control their own media. Have you ever wondered why whenever you get a sportsman interviewed, cricket, or I'm saying cricket because I'm assuming you're a cricket fan.
No?
Okay, I'm a cricket fan. But if you look at any of the cricket coverage but particularly football, the minute they're interviewed, their face goes dead, and they just say, yeah, well, it was an exciting match and we tried really hard, blah, 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 blah. And it's boring and it's useless and there's no personality in there.
They get media training, that's...
Exactly.
They all get the same, you don't have the characters
they
anymore.
They have been media trained until they have no life left.
Yeah.
And so our challenge is to get to the real human who's still in there, and get them to relax, and do it in a way which means that we can then make that entertaining and engaging to the audience without having any risk for the club. The problem with football players is they're basically they're not very bright. They've got incredible egos and they have huge amounts of money, and they've spent the last 10 years of their life throughout their teenage years doing nothing but play football. So sometimes there's not a lot of character that you're trying to play out there. I'm more of a cricket and rugby fan because of the way those games aren't professional and they're not, or they haven't been so professional at such high revenue for so long, you've got more character to play with. So hopefully we'll make more of that. So there's no official policy to clamp down. We have three different Twitter accounts. So we've got the MCFC, the main account, which does the football coverage, including the live tweeting during the game. We have a policy of not going tweet first on breaking news. If we need to control it because it's about signing a player, then we will wait until it is done in the real world and then we'll go live with it first.
And the player can tweet it first?
Nope.
Too. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not supposed to, but...
Without getting fined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did have a really interesting example with Samir Nasri, the Arsenal player who we signed in the summer. Everybody knew that there had been conversations going on. We had 20 press guys with, you know, Sky News and BBC, and everybody were outside with the cameras. But he hadn't signed, he'd only just turned up. But okay, so he's turned up, you know, in a limo with his guy. They're going into the offices, you know. But nobody knew officially that it had got, you know, hadn't been rubber stamped. And we got a camera and just filmed him just coming into the building. Into the building, actually, you can look at it on YouTube, it did 600,000-700,000 views in the first couple of days. And all it is him coming through the door, going up the stairs, going through another door, down a corridor, and into the CEO's office. And that's it. But that was the first, he's here. And so we did that, edited it, put it on live, before he'd even come out of the room having signed. So although we didn't say he signed, it was clearly we were demonstrating that he was in the building. That was the first footage we could do that. And because of that, that effectively broke the news. And then we had to wait, because Arsenal wouldn't allow us to confirm that we could do it because of the way the contract was phrased. So we couldn't go live with it on the web yet, which was just one of those strange, you know, champing at the bit. I'm always on our PR and communications lady to let us go with more of it online as soon as we can. But she takes some... her main thing is the PR and comms guys, they just want to control it. They're control freaks. They, you know, and understandably, because when it goes wrong in PR world, it goes really wrong. And they can get, you know, the club and the business in a lot of trouble. So they always want to control the news flow. And that's the key thing for them. It's about the news flow and getting the maximum out of it. The work I do with the bank, the investment bank, again, it's about the news flow. They don't... although they are happy to talk to journalists and give a journalist a report, a financial report, on why they think a particular share fund has done really well or done really poorly, they don't want to put it on the website. Even though they've given it to the journalists put it in the Financial Times, they don't want to put it on their own website because they want to be able to control the moment when it hits the market, and then the next time there's a negative story, they can then go back to him and say, well, you know, I gave you this material, you can ease off. It's all about controlling that relationship with the media, which is, you know, it feels archaic to me. But it's still relevant in those worlds.